No. They may be muted. Michael,
or got knocked off, because I know I got knocked off a few minutes ago.
Oh, really?
Who's here?
Who's here?
Michael, are you there? Bernard, are you there?
I'm back.
Okay.
Oh, Bernard's back. Okay.
Rodrigo, are you there?
Rodrigo?
No, yes, I'm over here. I'm listening.
Okay.
Okay, good,
okay.
Good.
Bernard, do you want to respond to Michael's suggestion about how to change that second paragraph? Motion, how to change that second paragraph. Which is...
No, I don't have a problem with that, because what we're doing is right now, from what I see, we're putting together, it's just ideas, and then at a later date we're going to come back and fine tune it.
Okay, and Rodrigo, did you want to speak to Michael's suggestion?
Well, you know, I was listening to Benito, and frankly, we need to make sure that it will have, you know, probably all sides, you know, like all input from all sides, you know, from different bodies. But better than, you know, I have a problem with pay staff.
What?
You know, I have a problem. Staff, you know, sometimes paid staff, you know, lean a little bit more to the management, the paid staff. Not necessarily like everyone, but you know, paid staff, or I would say, you know, that I'm paid staff. At least, you know, here in KPSK, you know, we have the experience that the paid staff is not welcome when they have any suggestions, and the unpaid staff is not welcome when they have suggestions, you know, or the management do not pay any attention to them, you know, and management has a tendency to minimize, you know, the work of unpaid staff, you know, or volunteer, you know, work. Usually their meetings, you know, are with paid staff, you know, mainly with pay staff. So they decide mainly how to run, you know, the radio station by, you know, management and pay staff. So, and volunteers, you know, got to be taken more seriously, as well as listeners' input. You know, that's my input. Of course, you know, having people from local station board or, you know, from PNB, it's a good element, I would say, you know, to make it, to give it more, I would say, more character, you know, a little bit more power, you know, to it. If we think, you know, we can overrule, you know, what the program director decides to do, which I kind of doubt, you know, sometimes, you know, because the way that it, you know, radio runs, you know, like, you know, I mean, I have no experience, you know, that it happens somewhere. So hopefully with this body it's going to happen. But that's my analysis. I don't know whether it fits better with Michael or Benito, but you know, that's my opinion. You know, that we gotta make sure that the body is gonna come with all sides, so it's not gonna be you know, more leaning toward management, you know, a decision.
Can we go to a vote on this? Because as Bernard says, these are all drafts. I hear some reluctance to go along with Michael, but not really clear. Michael, did you want to speak to it again, or then we'll take a vote, or we can keep talking about it? But my suggestion is that we decide this and go on to some of the rest of the things.
Yeah,
which
go ahead.
Sort of... Okay. So Nancy, would you take a vote on this? So a yes vote is to change the second paragraph to. Half staff elected by STV election, half listener members elected jointly by...
I don't have the word in STV election, just by STV election, so that it's clear.
By STV election, yeah. Right. And half staff... I'm sorry.
Half
I'll read
staff?
The whole thing. I'll read it as I think it should be. The composition of the committee shall consider... This is Michael's replacement for what's there, which eliminates the LSB members. The composition of the committee shall consist of one... half staff selected by STV election, and one half listeners approved by the LSB and the program director by a procedure satisfactory to both. I think the term shall be for 2 years. We're not discussing that. So is that correct, Michael?
Yeah, the only thing I would say is maybe based on what Rodrigo was just saying, maybe we should say paid and unpaid staff. Maybe we should specify that.
So it consists of one half paid and unpaid staff selected by the STV election. Is that how you want to do it? Okay. So it'll read that way. That's what we're voting on. So a yes vote is to do that. The effect is, again, to remove the LSB members, and that's the intention. A no vote is to leave it alone, and we'll go on to the rest of the items. So, Nancy, would you call the roll?
Okay. Okay. How do you vote on the Michael's
A yes
motion?
Vote is in support
yes
of Michael.
Yes vote is for Michael's vote, okay, for half staff, half listeners. All right.
Right.
Wesley Bethune? No. Okay. Margie Murray? No, those two are out. Michael Novicks? Yes.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Michael, yes. George Reiter?
I'm going to pass for the moment.
Pass, okay. Alex Steinberg? Alex, are you here?
No, he's not there. He said he's
no.
coming and going.
Okay. He has a bad phone, I think. Benito?
No.
No, okay. And Bernard?
I'm going to pass for the moment, too.
Pass, okay. Nancy, myself, I have a no, but I thank the effort. George? Sorry, Rodrigo. Rodrigo, how do you vote for Michael's motion for half staff, half listeners? Rodrigo? How do you vote on this? I think he has to pass, I guess. George?
He might have gotten knocked out again.
Yeah, I think he has telephone trouble. Alex, sometimes he changes the telephone many times. Okay.
I'm going to vote.
George?
I'm going to vote no. I'm going to vote no.
No, George, no. Okay. Who else? Bernard, do you wish to vote now?
Yes, I'm going to vote yes.
Yes. Okay. Bernard, yes. Rodrigo, are you here?
Yeah.
Alex.
But, yeah. This is Rodrigo. Yeah. I just kind of no.
Okay. How do you vote on Michael's motion for half staff and half listeners?
It's going to be only paid staff?
No, it's
both.
Half staff
is paid and unpaid staff.
Half paid and unpaid staff. And half listeners selected by a majority of the LSB and PD.
Yeah. Which is to replace what we already have.
Okay, I can't hear Rodrigo's answer. Is it yes or no? Rodrigo?
I'm paying staff, yes. Yes, yes.
What did you say, yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, so I get a vote of...
I don't think Rodrigo heard the entire motion. I get the feeling.
Rodrigo, would you like the motion repeated to you?
Yes, please, because I'm kind of missing the young one. Sorry.
Okay, so as it's written now, it says there'll be one-third staff, and it's understood that'll be both paid and unpaid staff, one-third members of the LSB, also elected by STV election, and one-third listeners approved jointly by the LSB and the program directors. Michael's motion would eliminate the members elected by the LSB, and so it would be half the membership would be staff, both paid and unpaid, elected by STV election, and half listeners approved jointly by the program director and the LSB by a procedure satisfactory to both. So that's Michael's proposal, and that would replace the proposal I read first. So, how do you vote on that?
No, I would vote no. Yeah,
no,
so that,
okay.
Yeah, no. So the voting no means remaining with the original one, right?
Remain with the original.
Okay, yeah. That's good.
Okay. So so it's 4-2. So we'll leave that in there. This can be revisited if need be after we get some input from the program directors. So let's go on to
Excuse me. The first motion, the first motion was Bernard's motion, and we all are in agreement with this to ask the ED to ask.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Is that right? Absolutely. Everybody. Okay.
Yes.
We don't have to vote. Let's go.
We did vote. We did vote. It was consensus.
Oh, we did vote. I didn't know that.
There was no objection. So we're going to do that.
Okay.
So So let me read the next, which is really the substance of what the program council is supposed to do. The program council shall serve to provide a collaborative nexus between the board, the listeners, and the management of the station for the purpose of implementing programming policies determined by the LSB and or PNB. Specifically, they shall have the power to review programs, recommend changes to schedules, vet new programs, and provide for adjudication of issues arising between volunteer programmers and management. They will set their own agendas in these regards. So those are my sense of what needed to be there. People want to speak to it, add things, take things out, whatever you like.
George.
Everybody? Benito.
I'd just like to, at the beginning where you list, it's a nexus between so-and-so and so-and-so constituencies, I would just like to add staff, both paid and unpaid.
I agree with that.
And to replace the management or
No, just to add one
one
more constituency.
Okay, is there any objection to that?
No. Good idea.
Okay, so it now reads, collaborative nexus between the board, the listeners, staff, paid and unpaid, and the management of the station. Okay?
Yeah.
Anything else? Any other suggestions?
I have a question about provide for adjudication of issues arising. At least at KPFK, that's currently part of the purview of the Program Oversight Committee of the LSB itself. I don't know how other stations deal with that.
We don't have anything.
George,
that's really...
At PFW, we don't have anything about that at all.
Excuse me, what are we
talking about?
The last power of the program council is to provide for adjudication of issues arising between volunteer programmers and management. And one thing they could say is we provide for it by, handing it over to this already existing body, which does this sort of thing. I just wanted that in there so that there would be some place, and the program council sort of seemed like a reasonable place to at least be in charge of it for handling that, because it's a real missing at our station.
Great. Conflict resolution.
So that's okay. Any other comments about the whole paragraph or any pieces of it? Any objection to it? Can we proceed as it ended?
So KPFK has something covered, this part covered.
They have that part covered, right.
But we don't. None of the others. So, and who's doing it? Management selection review? Who's doing that kind of thing at KPFK? What committee?
Michael?
Governance?
Hey. Okay. The Program Oversight Committee is supposed to deal with it.
Okay. That's a committee of the LSB.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Program committee?
Program Oversight Committee.
Program Oversight. Okay.
Whoops, Michael, go ahead.
Well, just the language review programs. I would say evaluate, but...
Review and evaluate, or evaluate program?
I just wasn't sure what review meant, so...
I think it means what you're saying. Evaluate.
Yeah. All right.
Let me just replace that.
Because to me, that's the big role of a program council, is to try to get that evaluation process going and more transparent.
Yep. Okay. Other comments about this paragraph?
Evaluate programs. This is like in public session with
That's addressed later on, but this is
okay.
Whether it's public or not is sort of there's more later on.
Okay.
Okay. So,
can you describe to me just what you mean when you say vet new programs?
We have a procedure whereby people have a proposal for a new program, so they'll produce, you know, a half hour of it or whatever, or a couple of versions of it, and then somebody's got to listen to it, and somebody's got to sort of make a recommendation. Do we want to accept this and put it in, or do we not want to accept it? So that's what I mean by vetting new programs.
Because I'm getting blurred here between the function of the committee as a part of management. Seems like that's a program director responsibility.
So you would want to take it out altogether, or is it it's not clear that this is a recommendation to the program?
I would take it out altogether. Right. We are clear.
Well,
okay.
But KPFT, we don't have anybody doing it. I mean, CAB was asking to do it last time.
George.
Benito.
I would agree with Bernard. You know, I think we have to be clear. What is the role of volunteers and what is the role of staff and management? And, you know, what is the role of a professional? And I think that vetting, and I wouldn't even use that word, but let's say evaluating a program idea, it seems to me is something that a professional, i.e. the PD, does in terms of the quality, the merit of that program, not just the idea of it, but, you know, how does this person that's proposing it propose to make it happen and put it on air, and so that'd be a quality show and this and that. But I don't see how volunteers are going to know about that. And I would just say, and maybe another way of dealing with that is at PFW, we're presently in the process, the programming committee is in the process of elaborating a document that would propose a procedure. And we worked out some of it with our IPD. So we're just adding, you know, some more meat to it. But the general idea would be that as programming or when programming ideas come in or when the window is open and ideas come in, that they are sent, let's say, to the volunteer coordinator or some staff person, whoever. And that person sends it to the programming committee that would review the proposal or the idea for being consistent with the mission statements of both Pacifica and PFW. And then so that would be the role of the programming committee. And then once, the ideas are, once the programming committee does that, it sends that stuff with recommendation or lack thereof to the PD or the programming department, and they do whatever they want to do with it. Now, you know, I mean, it's possible that maybe the programming staff thinks that a program is in compliance with the mission statements, and, you know, and so they have their independent means of evaluating that same proposal anyway. You know, but the point is that the way we saw it is that the role of the programming committee is to talk about and see if it's in compliance with the mission, whereas evaluating the idea as being in terms of whether it makes good radio is a totally different issue that has to do with you know, with the professional radio, and only the professional can deal with that.
Yeah, but you know, actually, what I had in mind was really what you're saying. So what I'd like to do is to change it to vet new programs for mission compliance.
Can I get on a sec?
I kind of agree with you about the you know, the quality of the program and stuff like that. But one of the things that I think is a serious place of political conflict is what's the political effect of what we put on the air, I think that's a place where, when I talk about a nexus, I think that's a place where this kind of, I think that conversation should happen in the programming council. I think that's a place for it to happen as a collaborative nexus. So I'd like to change it to vet new programs for mission compliance. And
I
don't know if that's,
am I in there?
So Michael, I heard you, and then whoever else wants to. Go ahead, Michael.
Again, this is speaking from the experience of the program council we did have at KPFK, and we were actually tasked at one point by the program director to evaluate proposals for two time slots that had opened up, a music show and a literary art sort of show, and did it, you know, pretty successfully. There was controversy because the program director ignored the recommendations, which eventually was dealt with by the Program Oversight Committee, and an agreement was reached, and one of the shows was put on a kind of audition basis. The other one was actually adopted and is still on the air. And just to say that that program council was composed of listeners and paid and unpaid staff. It had radio professionals of long experience, and it had people like myself who are just interested listener sponsors and community activists. And we did come up with a set of criteria that included both the sort of radio sound quality and other things we were interested in, not just mission compliance, but openness to listener input and feedback. And I can't remember the exact criteria now, but we had 6 or 7 different criteria that we were using both for that and for the purposes of trying to evaluate the existing programming. And you know, I respect the idea that you need radio professionalism, and as I said last time, I think that this group should be given some training by the program director on the issues involved in a grid and a sound, you know, the flow of the broadcast to maximize the audience. But I also think that the questions are not just questions of politics. They are questions of what makes sense. And my interest, again, in all of this, and the reason I don't like the LPAC that currently exists at KPFK, is that the listeners at large are not made aware of this. So I would like to see language that says shall have the power to evaluate existing programs and program proposals and not restrict it to mission compliance. And the reason for that is that people need to have a sense of what the opportunity costs are of any given show. In other words, if you have a show on the air, there's something that's not on the air. And people need to know what that is and have some idea of what's in the queue, what could be on the air, in addition to or instead of or rotating with what they currently have on the air. And that's the kind of process that has to be generated by this program council, is to make the listeners aware of the variety of programming they might be hearing in addition to the programming they're already hearing. Because otherwise, people always have their favorites, and that's all they think about.
Okay. So anyone else want to speak to this?
Yeah, I said Rodrigo.
Rodrigo, good.
Yeah, and, I'm not even with Michael. The situation with the professionals, you know, I think it's a mistake because not necessarily. I mean, first of all, you know, it's a, you know, our radios are you know, community-based radios, right? So they are community-based radios, and they are done by mostly volunteers. So. And the volunteers is not necessarily about professionals.
No,
they get
okay, Bernard.
Yeah. So as long as there is a, you know, a well training workshops, you know, well training workshops, you know, like 3-4 months of workshops, you know, to people who are willing to do new programming. That people, you know, coming from the community are going to get professional, you know. I mean, doing radio is not a secret, you know. It's just, you know, being able, well, we all know that, so I'm not going to get into it. But, you know, so the situation with the professional, we got the last, let's say, the last changes that affected KPSK, you know, did not give, you know, the radio station an improvement in terms of fund drives. Or listeners. So, and besides that, you know, there is another element, really important. At least in, you know, I would say in California, you know, I would say like, you know, I don't know about Washington, I think it's a little different, but, you know, here, you know, a lot of the programs are focused on the movement, right? Talk radio, right? Like, you know, grassroots movements and stuff. So, and we got a lot of people who are willing to do radio, and they are into the community, they belong to organizations. So professionalism is not even, sometimes, you know, in terms of the PDs, you know, I mean, we got some PDs that are not professional, you know, they are there, you know, but, I mean, I don't know, you know, that what training do they have? You know, the last PD we had, you know, was not that good. So I don't think we should use that term, you know. Besides, you know, the bylaws, you know, that it is mission compliance, right, the programming. And it doesn't actually, I don't recall if somebody recalls, you know, or knows, you know, what it says, you know, that programming has to be done by, you know, so-called professionals, you know. I think that's mostly for, you know, public radio, like NPR, you know, radios like that. You know, it doesn't mean that, you know, we are doing the programming, the actual programming, are not professionals. Yes, but not necessarily because they graduated from an institution where they get their degree. So yeah. We don't get professionals, you know, doing, you know, work. I mean, we got like 10 years, you know, doing programming. So we are professionals. We were not professionals, but we are professionals now, you know. So, and I would say, you know, that would be more accessible to the grassroots organization.
Bernard, did you want to speak?
Well, I thought that when he said professional, that he was talking about those folks who were hired to do specific tasks. And I didn't think he was making a condemnation of. He was using it to condemn others who would participate, but to point out that there are people who should have a higher level of expertise than just the general public.
That's exactly what I meant.
Let me try again with this. My own feeling is the program council is a place where they should be examining new programs and making suggestions as to what to replace with what. The question that was raised about on what basis, and I think clearly I hear a consensus. Everybody feels as though certainly on the question of what is the focus of this show, how does it fit into the mission, what's its effect going to be in the politics of the moment, that those are important considerations, and this is a place to do it. And there was some question about whether or not, how about the other kinds of things, like, you know, the quality of the show. I mean, do they belch on the air? Do they, you know, use the microphone effectively, or whatever, sort of more the kinds of things that people who, more professional kinds of things. And which is not to say that, you know, that the people who are on the show have to be professionals, but just that we pay a program director to do this kind of thing and to make those kind of judgments. But the program director is part of this council. So what I'd like to suggest is see if there's a consensus for it, is that we leave in vetting the new programs as part of, you know, making recommendations on changes to schedules. You got to know what's new if you're gonna and have, you know, have some judgment about what's new. If you're going to make a recommendation to change the schedules, I'd like to just change the order of things and put vet new programs. So evaluate programs, vet new programs, recommend changes to schedules, and provide for and the rest is a separate issue, provide for adjudication. Is that satisfactory? Is there objection to doing it that way?
I'm okay George. With that.
George.
Yes, Benito?
This is more of a question, and I would like Bernard's, you know, input in this, but I guess I want to support what you're proposing here. I just have a little bit of a concern that I don't want, I just want to make sure that we don't have listeners, LSB members, and, you know, unexpert people trying to determine whether a particular show should go on the air or stay on the air based on their whims. Or, you know, they don't think that, you know, we should have X kind of, let me not get into that. But the point is, you know, there has to be a particular role for experts. That's why they're getting paid. And again, I don't think that we can confuse the role of community activists such as myself on the one hand, which I think, as Nancy said earlier, our concern is in a listener-sponsored community radio station is to make sure that these shows are putting forth social justice or promoting social justice. You know, that's our role. You know, but it's another thing to make sure that it is a quality show that folks are going to want to listen to. So we can have all the social justice we want, and if it's not quality radio, folks ain't going to listen to it. So I'm saying is I generally want to support what George is proposing. I just want to make sure that there's some safeguards here, that we have some kind of division of labor. And of course, all the constituencies are in this program council. And I don't know, maybe that does it. Maybe we just need to talk it out a little bit more.
Hey, so Rodrigo, can you start? Rodrigo.
Rodrigo, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know, what I'm listening is basically what I'm talking, you know, the issue of why we lose a lot of listeners. You know, the pattern, it's anywhere you see it. If there is a TV show, right, which was put out by experts, per se, but people are not seeing it because they don't like it, who after all pays the radio or the TV? You know, the people. So we have a tendency to minimize, you know, the good, you know, taste or bad taste that the people have out there. You know, we are not the ones who pay or support the radio station. We work for the radio station, yes, and we do our part. But the core that support the foundation are the listeners. So we are told, you know, that we got to please the listeners, right? So when we got an expert, a PD or GM, you know, doing changes, you know, as they want, you know, getting rid of, you know, programs that are, you know, well listened or well supported in a lot of cases because it's at their will, you know. So what are we doing? We are affecting, you know, the funds of the foundation. So we got to pay attention to the people, because the people, after all, you know, are the ones that pay. And then I said at the beginning of my first intervention in this topic, that it's the responsibility of management on the bodies of any radio station to have, you know, a training session all the time in place. Actually, it's in the bylaws. We have to have it. There is no training, right? I mean, here at KPFK, there's only the Spanish Language Programming Association is doing, you know, months, you know, it has already, like, you know, a continuous training session. But English don't have nothing, right? Don't have any training, you know. So they come aboard, and that's it. Why? Because they look professional. Well, you know, there was Roseanne Barr that was put on the air. She was the greatest. Well, she didn't make it. Now we got all these cases by professionals. Some of them used to be NPR or whatever. Well, they didn't get the support, you know. So what are we talking when we're talking about professionals? We got to talk about what the people want. The mission and the policy of ethics, you know, is very specific in that sense. We got to please our constituents. We got to please our listeners. We got to please those who pay the radio station. So it's wrong. You know, what I'm saying is totally wrong. You know, I'm not saying, you know, we don't have to come with professionals. Yes. But it is a wrong option if we, you know, have a tendency to minimize, you know, those who are the ones that support the whole foundation. They're paying the millions and millions of dollars. Those people that don't come, you know, sometimes, you know, to the radio station, sometimes, you know, they don't even show. So sometimes, you know, but they pay. Every time they listen, they like something, they pay. They get it, right? So let's be a little bit more open. We are a community-based radio. We are a non-commercial radio station. So, and we gotta look at even the commercial stations. You know how they work. There is one guy that is so good in the morning. So he got all the input, he got all the support of the people. He remains. One guy who people don't like it, don't listen to it. He doesn't remain, even though he was chosen by a professional, probably the best professional. No, but he's not in the taste of the people. We gotta take an account of that too.
Let me speak to Benito's concern, and I hear what Rodrigo is saying, and I certainly support it, which is we really want this to be a mechanism by which the felt needs of the community, the sense of what they want to have on the air, is kind of comes into the conversation, and so that's, you know, that's why there are listeners on this program council, And then there's the other side of, you know, well, will they, you know, just put on some stuff which is sloppily put together? You know, maybe it's well intentioned, but it doesn't sound very good on the air. It doesn't do us any good in terms of expanding listenerships. And my feeling is that it is the program director. This is, after all, advisory to the program director, and it is, as Bernard pointed out earlier, that it's really. That's what he's supposed to be making, those kinds of judgments, at the very least. That is to say, the quality of this just really isn't up to our standards. And so there's nothing in the way it's written. I mean, I think the program council has to be able to decide on, make a recommendation on which new programs should go on and which ones shouldn't, in order to have that voice of the community. And I think the program director has sort of the quality control available to him. You know, he can say no. A while later, if we agree on it, you know, he can be overruled by two-thirds of the members of the board. But, you know, a third of these people are going to be, at least a third of these people are going to be programmers themselves who have some sense of what the quality of a program ought to be. Mm-hmm. So it seems to me that if, you know, it's kind of safeguarded. It isn't going to be. We're not likely to have stuff put on the air which is well-intentioned, but which is just so sloppy that it doesn't work in the way it stands.
Can I get on the back, too? I would, if I can just say, that what George just said makes a lot of sense to me.
And who else said they want to be on the stack?
Michael Novick. I agree with what you said, George. The thing, to me, I think we want to avoid, actually, is sort of ghettoizing contacting the management as the people concerned about air quality. I think the whole point of this is to develop a sensibility within the station and within the community of listeners even about what makes for good social justice radio. In other words, the whole point of this to me is to break down those that set of divisions. And I will just reiterate, I served on a program council, and it had its failures and its weaknesses, but we had listeners, and we had paid and unpaid staff, and we did meet with the program director and the GM from time to time. And when it worked well at exactly that. And the criteria we came up with, in addition to sound quality and air quality and incorporating different types of, vox pop and, looking at whether people were involved in remote broadcasting and community orientation, and a lot of it, was it attractive to new and young listeners? Was it serving underserved communities? There are a lot of criteria that are not specifically about air quality or the mission, in a sense, that actually listeners have a lot to say about, because they're not professionals, because they're just radio listeners.
Anyone else want to comment on this? Can we move on to the next one? As it stands now, we're leaving in vet new programs. It's I changed the sequence, so it's sort of evaluate programs, vet new programs, recommend changes to schedules, and provide for adjudication of issues arising between volunteer programmers and management.
Yes, I wanted to speak about that last one. I think there should be a caveat there that says and provide for adjudication of issues arising between volunteer. Well, first of all, I think it should say unpaid programmers and producers, not volunteer programmers. Unpaid programmers and producers and management, where no other mechanism exists for that purpose. Because if there is,
good, okay.
If there is an unpaid staff organization that's recognized, that's who does that, not us.
Yeah, I mean.
George, this is Alex. Can I say something?
Hi,
I'm driving, so I have to be brief.
Okay.
I've only been able to listen a little bit here and there. I think it's really excellent that we're having this discussion, and I'm all for it. And I'm going to support whatever you come up with, even if the final blueprint is not my ideal, because I think having a policy on program councils would be far superior to what we have now, which is no policy. And I think there's always going to be a tension between the requirements of professionalism and the tastes of listeners. And these are all tensions that have to be worked out. I don't think you can sort of get around them. They're there. One thing I do want to comment on, it was discussed that we're community-based stations, and that's true, but the question is, who is the community we want to serve? And I think there's at least two communities we need to serve. One is sort of the activist community with whom we are intimately involved and always have been, but I don't think we could be sustainable if we limit ourselves to that community. I think we have to be able to reach the general population the way Occupy Wall Street is able to, they've really gotten onto something. There's all sorts of people who've never been activists who are being energized by this kind of a movement. We have to be able to reach those kind of people as well. So, and that's really goes to our ability to sustain ourselves. We're not going to be able to sustain ourselves just by basing ourselves on the activist communities. And that's all I'd like to say.
Well, that's a good point.
George.
Benito.
Just real quick. Number one, I want to second what Alex just said to the billionth degree. And the only other thing is I would just suggest that we add as a category of activity that did the mission compliance piece.
Oh, good.
How about if I put it in vet new programs, including mission compliance?
Yeah. Yeah, something like that. And I'm not even clear, you know, frankly, what should be the role, or where does the role of the programming committee begin and end, and where does the role of the program council begin and end? But, you know, so I'm not even clear myself, but since we're dealing with all those aspects, I just figured we might as well throw it in.
I don't have any objection. And certainly, if it isn't mission compliant, it shouldn't be there. So that's sort of the first kind of thing to be said.
Was there any objection to what I proposed about that last?
No, I wanted to ask you. I just wanted to ask you what the difference that I don't know. I don't object to it.
The two changes I wanted to make. I said unpaid programmers and producers, because there are a lot of unpaid people who work on shows. They're not actually programmers, as I think of it. They're doing other work.
Unpaid producers. So volunteer programmers is replaced by unpaid producers?
No, unpaid programmers and producers.
Unpaid
programmers, but also add producers. But it was after management, comma, where no other mechanism exists for that.
Yeah, I don't have any objection to that. Does anybody else?
No, that makes sense to me.
How about SCORE, mission compliance, or express the opinion of mission compliance level? Or?
Well, it says, what I have is vet new programs, including mission compliance.
Mission compliance could be evaluated from all the old ones, it's not just the new program, right?
Right, well, both new and existing.
Can I make that suggestion then? I had it before, actually. They should have the power to evaluate existing programs and program proposals, including mission compliance.
Yes, that's good.
Yeah.
Oh, we're doing great.
So evaluate existing programs and program proposals.
And no program ideas.
New
program proposals is what they
New program
for.
Proposals. And existing, and maybe put that separate. Mission compliance.
I was just saying, I'll repeat what I said. She'll have the power to evaluate existing programs and program proposals, or new program proposals, including mission compliance. Recommend changes to schedules.
Okay. I just lost a little bit. So as it would read then, specifically, they shall have the power to evaluate existing programs and new program proposals, including mission compliance, recommend changes to the
schedule.
Provide for adjudication of issues arising between unpaid programmers and producers, management, where no other unpaid programmers and producers and management, I guess, is what I really mean.
Or maybe unpaid programmers and producers on the one hand and management on the other hand.
Just put management first. If you put management first, between management
very,
and
very good. Very good.
Unpaid
very good.
Programmers and producers, comma, where no other mechanism exists for that function.
Why we don't touch paid ones?
Because there are union things in various places, and
not at all.
And there's EEOC rules, and I mean, if you're paid, you're really in a whole different ball game. These are people who have no protection whatsoever, unless we provide it. Okay, so it now reads. Provide for adjudication of issues arising between management and unpaid programmers and producers.
Do Texas programmers have any protection, even if they're paid? We only have two. Well, never mind. I'll ask you later. I don't.
Well, just the normal laws of actually not much in Texas. There isn't much to protect an employee in Texas.
Well, if we had but if we had it in Pacifica law, that would cover at least KPFT in Texas. Well, I sure would like to see a labor union there.
Let me read what we've got and then see if we want to put in something about we don't have a union, and we have state laws which are very lax. It's a right to work state. They haven't got much, is the truth of the matter. You can't have, you know, a discrimination complaint can be filed, but
yeah, and frozen salaries up to 7 years.
Otherwise you're sort of employed at will. Recommend changes to the schedule. Provide for adjudication of issues arising between management and unpaid programmers and producers where no other mechanism exists. They will set. Okay, so do we want to try to say something about paid programmers?
Yeah, George.
Yeah, Benito.
Yeah, I would agree with Nancy for all the reasons that both you and she mentioned. You know, we're trying to make a general statement here or a general policy here, and it'll be implemented differently at different stations based on those state laws.
Yeah, actually, where no other mechanism exists takes care of that. So if we took out unpaid...
Oh, well, that's true.
So if you got a union, that's the other mechanism.
Okay.
Yeah, but
so
we don't have one yet.
I know. So our programmers would presumably be able to appeal to the program council if there's nothing else.
So, George, you're saying that a union contract normally would provide a staff programmer or producer with some kind of complaint mechanism or something? Or
oh, yeah.
Adjudication?
Oh, yeah. I mean, KPFA is still going through it, as far as I can tell. I mean, there was long litigation before the NLRB, and the seniority had to be respected. You couldn't fire people, that's fine. I mean, I support union rules, but there was a lot of protection there for through the unions. But we don't have any union at all, and I don't know what's true at PFW. Is there
Is a union.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah, there is a union, but it's just that I didn't know what the union contract covers, and I certainly wasn't aware that it would cover something like, you know, if there's a dispute about whether, you know, like a programmer's show, you know, a paid staff programmer's show or something.
Well, what happens, I mean, there's a union at WBAI, but the union has been ignored by the present management.
Oh.
Hmm. Well, what did LSB do? Did they protect them or what?
Well, President management has been told by the majority of the LSB.
Then that's all the more.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, there's all the more reason to leave something in like this. So essentially,
right,
we're saying, look, the program council will be the appeal mechanism of last resort, and if there's nothing else, they're going to. You've got a place to go to be heard. And that seems to me to be something I really want to keep in there.
Mm-hmm.
And as it's written, it doesn't get in the way of, which was what I was originally concerned with, of places where there really are unions and the contract actually does protect people.
But even if there's a contract and it doesn't protect people and or management ignores the contract and the union ain't strong enough to insist that it be respected, then the staff, the paid staff members could always come to the programming council. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. If I take out unpaid from there, then the answer is yes.
Okay. Then let's do that.
Yeah.
Oh,
I've done that. I've taken out. So I just took out unpaid. So the way it reads is, provide for adjudication of issues arising between management and programmers and producers where no other mechanism exists.
Okay.
Is that all right with other people, Bernard?
Is there a consensus to that? Is there any objection to that? as it stands.
I think that's fine.
Is Alex still there?
Alex is not still there.
How about Bernard?
Yeah, I'm here.
I'm here, but I can't really talk.
I don't hear any objections, so we're gonna move on. We'll take that as it's been revised. The next has to do with I'll read it again. Program directors will serve as ex officio members of the program councils, which are charged with making recommendations to the program director. If the program director declines to act on such recommendations, he or she shall report his/her reasons and respond to dialogue on the issue from the council. So they have to report to and participate in a dialogue. Such dialogue shall be made widely available to the listeners. If consensus cannot be reached on a course of action between the program director and a majority of the council can overrule the program director with a vote of 2/3 of its members. So that's sort of the relationship between the program director and the program council. And I didn't specify whether ex officio would be voting. My take on it would be probably, I'm ambiguous about it, actually. So any comments about that section?
George.
Okay, Benito?
I would, number one, I'd like to hear Bernard's point of view on this. And number one, number two, I would ask, what is the difference between ex officio and non-voting, or is there?
What is ex officio?
What does it mean?
Not official?
No, it means by virtue of the office that you hold.
Yeah, right. Thank you. Thank you. So so whoever's sitting in the program council is there, and the question of whether he votes or not is up to us, really. And I left it undetermined, so we could also leave it undetermined and let each program council determine it. Right. Thank you, Michael. He's there because he's the program director.
Well, why don't we put non-voting or voting, and what each program council has to decide?
We could do it either way. This is our recommendation. So whatever you, it's open for discussion. However you want to do it.
George.
Benito.
Yeah, I don't know. We're trying to create a specific policy, so I don't. And I know we wanted to be flexible to make do for the situations in each station, but you know, I think that something that whether or not the PD gets to vote on this stuff, I think is an important issue. And I'm not right now. I don't know. I don't have an opinion. I just know that I think we ought to lay it out one way or the other.
You know,
I do too. I say non-voting.
Strongly about it one way or the other. Make a suggestion.
I move it be non-voting.
Okay.
And can you give a reason, Nancy?
Yes, because the PD has is with management, part of management, and they have all the power, right? And if something passes and without the PD's vote, then it must be very strong, right? And it can still be overturned by the PD.
Yeah, it is all recommendation.
Yeah, even with a 2/3 vote override rule, still the way things sound, we don't have a lot of strength here.
No, the way it's written, if you overrule him 2/3 of its members, his decision doesn't get enforced. The decision of the program council gets enforced. But whether he's a vote in that or not depends upon the size. You know, how significant that is depends upon the size of the group. And anyway, the motion in front of us is that he's a non-voting ex officio member. I guess I'd like to speak to that. I'm kind of for that because it makes the whole thing. This is a recommendation to you from us. So the you and the us here is separate. You'll sit in with us. You'll know what we're talking about. But we'll make the recommendation, and then you can decide what you want to do with it. And so you don't have to be in a position of voting with us or not. I guess I like that. Anyway, anybody else want to speak to it?